Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Dear Blood River Radio family, I would like to thank you so much for holding on. It's been a kind of a intense 2 hours. My little voice is wearing down. I'll tell you what, we have the bitter ender coming in here. I'm so glad he's here, not only to rest my old wore out voice, but got some great, great information as he always does. If during the break, I might chime into something to Gene. I'm sure he'll be familiar of. I was not aware of it. It had to do with Stone Mountain, Georgia, and something that happened there in Lincoln's War that Will was telling me all about it, because Will is from Georgia. But with that aside, I would like to welcome the bitter ender himself. He's been fighting behind the enemy lines, as he usually does. And so we're going to bring him back. He's fresh out of the field hospital, got new swords. He's ready to rock and roll. How you doing, bitter ender?
Oh, doing very well, Eddie. Doing very well. I hope you're doing okay. I understand you had a battle at the VA today, so I'm glad you pulled through that, and glad you're back on the air, and hope everything's going to work out all right for you. Really need you. We need you.
Well, I tell you what, we need you too, brother. But thank you so much. I went in. I was telling people I'm having, one of these medicines to keep that blood pressure down. I have what they call brittle hypertension, but it's under control now. But one of the symptoms I was having, I thought symptomatic, what they call hyponatremia, which just means low blood salt, and it can cause, it can be fatal. And I was told anytime you start having these type of symptoms to go in, I won't go into the detail, but to go in and get labs. So I just went in and told them, I said, I need some labs, draw these labs. I go back home. I go into my computer. I'll get the lab results. It's probably taking an hour to get them through, and I'll know what I need to do. But oh no, I had to have every kind of test under the sun. I said, this stuff is unnecessary. I've been down this road before. I'm not having a heart attack. I'm not having a stroke. It's just, I've done this so many times. But they wouldn't take no for an answer, and so I went ahead and did it. But I barely got back, but in time to do the program. Paul Fromm was going to step in the second hour for me, or first hour, really, with Will. But thank God, by the grace of God, I got back in time. And thank you so much for your well wishes, Bitter Ender.
God bless you. Yes, sir. Well, a lot of times these medical people, they'll overtest. And the reason is they got Morgan and Morgan and all these lawyers just hanging in the tree limbs waiting to swoop down on anything they can sue. And they'd rather overtest and have too much information than take one chance of getting drug into court and having a multimillion dollar settlement slapped on them. So it is frustrating. I agree with you there. I'm the type, just spit on it and rub a little dirt on it and keep going. But, the medical profession is under fire from a lot of these lawyers and law companies today. So they got to be careful. So glad you made it through okay. I thought what we would do for our listening audience tonight, I had to be gone last week. I was at the American Renaissance Conference, which they hold in Middle Tennessee at Montgomery Bell State Park, which is just west of Nashville near Dixon, Tennessee. Beautiful, beautiful lodge and facility there, and meeting room, and a staff that is just super, super nice. And they are so glad to have us there. Now, the reason they have it at a state park, and here's the story behind all of this. When the American Renaissance would try to schedule a Holiday Inn or a Marriott or a Fairfield Inn or Hilton or something like that, they would pay a down payment, whatever that fee was, and it wasn't cheap. It was big bucks. They would sign a contract, and then as soon as Antifa or the Jewish Nazi group or whatever they call themselves today, or any of these other wacko lunatic lefties found out where it was being held, they would go after the manager of a private hotel company or a civilian hotel company, and they would threaten the manager, they would threaten his family, they would attack him at his home. And so 2 or 3 days before the event, they would have to cancel. for they were under the threat of their life, and you can't really blame them. It, I mean, we had a contract, we paid a down payment, and then because of the hostile threats and death threats and all the things that you get from Antifa and these Jewish groups, they would have to cancel the event. So what they figured out to do was to have the event at a state park, because then if you threaten a state employee, the TBI, Tennessee Bureau of Investigation, the TBI will come down on you with everything they've got. And so they do not do that anymore to threaten the individuals. Now, they do have an area set up for the ragtail, ratty-looking protesters to go out there and do their stupid thing. One of the first years they moved it to this state park, they didn't have anything set up for the protesters, and they were out in the parking lot, on the sidewalk, trying to get into the lodge to where the event was going to happen. And you know, it was rough just getting into the building, and but they had some state police and a few of the park rangers there, but they didn't have enough. So then they figured out, okay, just move them away from the building, and when you pre-register for this, and you're stopped at the top of the hill before you can even get to the parking lot, they had the park rangers there with the vests and weapons, everything, a whole military operation there, and they check your name off of that registration list. And if you're not on the registration list, then you're not getting down the hill to the parking lot, and you're not, certainly not getting into the lodge or the building. So they've done a lot better job with security. Now, that all being said, the people that are out there protesting, these lunatic lefties, these are the ones that talk about the right to free speech and, you know, equity and inclusion and diversity. Yes. But only as long as you agree with them. If you disagree or if you have another opinion, they will come after you just like they did Charlie Kirk. If they don't like it, eventually they're going to kill you. And so they have to separate these animals and put them over on way away from the building, and they are allowed to protest. And they had some scraggly Yankee-sounding gal out there with a megaphone. I didn't go over there. You could hear it all the way up to the building and in the restaurant, just whining away about the same old crap that they always did. Oh, you're racist. You're the. Why don't you come over here and talk to us? Why don't you come over here and talk to us? I felt like going out there and saying, because we don't talk to rats. You know, it's a waste of time. Yeah, you know, you can put a ballet slippers on a hog, but it's still a hog. So anyway,
you got that right.
They were there, but they were way out of the way. So what I thought I would do, I took notes of all the speakers, and the reason they protest this so much is because Jared Taylor, who's from Virginia, he gets a collection of some of the most brilliant people in the world, not just the United States, in the world, to speak at this conference. And the whole premise is that we as whites have a right to our history and our heritage, just like, you know, Black History Month, Spanish History Month, Gay Pride Month, all of this stuff like that. They have all of those things. No complaint about that. You have a white event, and the liberals go berserk. They go absolutely berserk. And we can't wait to see. They have an investigative reporter from Channel 5, one of the local news nerds, that's supposed to have this big expose to come out on this white supremacist group that was meeting at the Montgomery Bell State Park. Can't wait to see what he has on. And you know, we, you know, well, really don't have to see it. They're going to say the same thing. The investigative reporter and these news nerds and the prostitutes and the news media. First of all, this guy wasn't there. And he's going to do this reporting from what the Southern Pervert Law Center, or the Southern Poverty Law Center, and the Anti-Defamation League and AIPAC and all of these lunatic lefty groups are going to tell him what was going on there. And so he will not have been or listened to any of these speakers, but yet he knows that these are neo-Nazis and white supremacists and racists and yada, 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 you know, the usual suspects. So it's going to be interesting to see when, if they ever do run this clown's reporting, investigative reporting, and see what he says. But I've heard him before, and it's the same old thing. He can never refute what you say. They never do. And that's important for our listeners. When these people start hurling these names at you and titles and this and that, and they compare you to Hitler and this and that and the other and everything, and, you know, I get them real mad, and I said, yeah, he invented the interstate highway system, the Autobahn. Yeah, that's a great idea. They go crazy.
You sure
then.
As hell did.
But anyway.
Yeah,
but anyway, that just blows them apart. But, you know, when they start hurling all these names at you, you know, what's the old line you learned in kindergarten? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. That's all it is. They throw stuff at you and see if they can get you upset or get it to stick or anything like that. Never once have I heard any of these prostitutes in the media, these investigative reporters, come up and dismantle something point by point. It's always a name-calling contest. We'll get to our review of the speakers right after the break.
Thank you, Jimmy. Be right back, folks.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at cspoa.org. That's cspoa.org.
I'm Monica Schaefer from Canada, a former political prisoner. Here at Blood River Radio, we are not afraid to tell the truth and shame the devil. Our mission is to fight against white genocide. We do that by exposing the lies. We talk about the American Civil War. We talk about the vilification of German people and by extension, all white people. And we even talk about that linchpin lie, the Holocaust. Deception by the alien enemy within has brought us whites to our knees. My last words at the Schaefer's speech crime trial in Germany were, quote, "If there was a law forbidding us to breathe, we would break that law immediately just to live. And so it is with this law. We must break this law in order to survive and thrive as a people," unquote. Please donate to Blood River Radio and help keep us on the air.
Get ready to be part of something incredible. We're breaking barriers and delivering the powerful stories that mainstream media won't touch. Your support is what fuels our mission to revolutionize journalism and bring you the truth. Join our passionate community of changemakers by donating at libertynewsradio.com today. Together, we're creating the future of news.
Tell you something, boy, if I did give you power, you got nothing. Nobody gives you power. Real power is something you take.
You're Blood River Radio. Without further ado, but Gene's absolutely right. And I'd like to throw this out there. Everybody and his mama knows what happened here in Memphis. I think it's in 07 when Duke came, and he's supposed to be in Mississippi, and the governor called state of emergency, and he chased Duke around like he was a criminal. But that reporter that did the thing, the Ayn Rand conference last year, Gene, I don't know if I told you about it. I invited him. I tried every way in the world to get him to come on Blood River Radio and debate you because you were there. And, you know, I know you're going to be shocked. Gene, do you know he never answered my phone calls? I know that's true. But anyway.
No, they can't do that. They can't do it, Eddie. That's why I get invited to some of these debates with these blacks on Confederate history. And, it's the same channel as Channel 5 in Nashville, and they had another so-called investigative reporter. It was an hour show, and they had me on there, and they had this black guy on there, and all he could talk about was slavery. All he could talk about was slavery. And I said, no, Lincoln said it wasn't about slavery. It's about this. It's about money. And they said, well, it is. And no, it wasn't. Well, the emancipation didn't free any slaves. It said only in those states in rebellion against the Union, which meant it was the Confederate states. He had no power there. Five states that were in the Union that had slavery, they were exempt. And I said, how do you explain that? So anyway, I never get invited back because I'm not the stereotypical wild, ranting, raving Southern redneck hillbilly that they want on the TV show. I wore a coat and tie, had more teeth than tattoos, and I didn't grab a chair and run out of the audience like Jerry Springer or something and crash the chair over somebody's head. So I never get invited back because they cannot handle the facts. Like that line that Jack Nicholson, when he was on the stand in that trial and A Few Good Men, you can't handle the truth. And they can't. They can't handle the truth because their philosophy, their all of their tenets, all their claims, all their threats are not based on truth. They're just based on feelings. And they have these feelings and they think that equates to factual information, which it doesn't. It's just, you know, just whatever they make up and they have a good feeling about, oh, we're on the right side and we're defending this, that, and the other. So anyway, that's all the background. And here's some of the speakers that were there. Brilliant, brilliant people. First of all, on Friday night, Jared Taylor always has opening remarks.
Fire away. Here's what we need to do. I'm going to appeal to our supporters. Here's what we need to do. If we can do it, we need to run a big ad as big as we can afford in the Nashville newspaper and challenge this chicken shit reporter and challenge him to come on Blood River Radio and debate the facts with Gene Andrews. We'll treat him as a gentleman. We'll treat him with the utmost respect, but we will stick to the facts. If our supporters will help us out, we'll find out. We will do a full-page advertisement challenging him.
Well, no. I'll save you money on that. I'll just call Channel 5. And tell this guy, you know, or answering machine, they won't answer the phone. Says answering machine said, you've done an investigative reporting job on the American Renaissance Conference. Why don't you come on Blood River Radio on Saturday afternoon or Saturday evening, and let's see what the facts really were. You've got your story, and we'll see if that matches up with what actually happened there and what the speakers actually said. You've accused these speakers and the conference of a lot of things. Let's see if you can back it up with facts. So it'll save you running an ad, and you know, they'll duck out on it. I guarantee you that, just like the guy you challenged. Yeah. So anyway, here's just a brief summary of some of the speakers. Opening speaker on Friday night always is Jared Taylor, who's head of the American Renaissance. And he was talking about how we get our message out. You need more podcasts, publishers, to turn the table against white replacement. And that was one of the main topics this weekend. We need the support of the middle class. They're the ones that are getting pushed out. The elites don't care. The illegals and the garbage and the criminal scum at the bottom, they don't care because they're living off the government. The elites have their own private little areas to live, you know, their own protection. We have to be more than just right. We have to be exemplary for whiteness. Live for honor. And it goes back to the Declaration of Independence, where the signers pledged their life, their liberty, and their sacred honor. Honor at one time was really important in this country. And if you didn't have honor, you weren't anything. And now, if you most of the people that are ranting and raving against the conservative movement, national movement, nationalist movements, and things like that, they can't even spell honor and look it up in the dictionary. So they don't know what we're talking about. This is going to be one of the hardest, most tragic fights in human history, and because we're fighting for whites and Western civilization. And you look at what's happened to Europe, how so many European cities, great old cities like London, like Paris, like Berlin, have been taken over by immigration, and it's no longer a German city or a French city or a British city. It's just a conglomeration. The next speaker that was speaking, Eric Orwell, he says, reclaiming America one neighborhood at a time. And this is the idea of having private settlements or private neighborhoods. And the first settlement they had is in Arkansas. And he said, this is a decisive change from talking about something to doing something about it. It's operating in the private domain. So if there's a private area of land owned privately, they can ignore the 1965 Civil Rights Act or the fair housing laws and so forth like that. Private associations take advantage of the government definition of private communities, and it's perfectly legal. There are many successful white communities across the country, and this is one that he had helped organize in Arkansas. He's from Missouri, but helped organize it in Arkansas because they got more land. They can incorporate as a private association where they can provide their own health care, own education, and own financial situation, set up their own banking system. The property owners sign a contract. It's part of an LLC, scene and housing homestead. And what you do here, you learn to trust and work with your neighbors, because your neighbors are not from Saudi Arabia or Algeria or Syria or Guatemala. They're people that believe the same thing you do, probably from the same section of the country. So it may get back to the point, and he said a lot of places it does. We've always heard people, when I was growing up, we never locked our doors. Didn't have to worry about people breaking in.
That's right.
So that's the type of housing situation they're trying to set up. We do not want to be pushed out by white flight and having people from Amazon coming in here and moving in and taking over an area and bringing their liberal political agenda with them. And yes, the governor of Tennessee is always bragging about how many companies are coming to Tennessee, or to, you know, or the governor of Georgia or wherever. Yeah, they come, but they bring all the garbage with them from California or Michigan or wherever, and then we have to endure that. He said, by building alternative communities, we're allowing other people to actually see what is an alternative community and what it can give the people that live there. Another speaker, Mark Collette, C-O-L-L-E-T-T.
Wow.
He is an Englishman. He is part of the British Nationalist Party that's gaining support in England. And he was not allowed by the wonderful United States, land of the free and home of the brave and the First Amendment. He's not allowed to come to this country. They would not give him a visa. So this was a video conference from England, and this Mark Collette was on there, and he was talking about what happened to him, and he cannot get a passport, he cannot get a credit card, he cannot get a bank account in England. That's how much they are afraid of the British Nationalist Party, that they just do everything they can to sabotage these people and make them persona non grata. He's banned from the States and most other European countries. He claims that America is a fountain of moral poison that infects the rest of the world. And he said this is why. He was talking about at the end of World War II, 1945, there were two great powers left, the Soviet Union and the United States. And everybody thought this was going to be great. The United States had helped win the war. They'd backed England and France and these countries that in Australia that fought against the Japanese and the Germans, which many people say we were fighting on the wrong side. But anyway, in the rest of the world. And so we had this authority or had this ability to influence the rest of the world, especially Western Europe. And he said, but America turned out to be a fountain of moral poison that infected the rest of the world. And he calls it the Judeo-American state. The United States is basically a Jewish oligarchy. And it's endless stream of rotten ideas. And our European ancestors have become hated and despised minority. We, as you know, ancestors of Europeans, have become a hated and despised minority in our own country. And like he was talking about, it began in 1945, a fantasy version of history and a false narrative of World War II history, the Jewish Bolsheviks in the East versus in the Judeo-American West, American occupation. It was accepted with this American idea because it was preferable to the Eastern communist occupation of the countries in Eastern Europe. But what we got was the American dumping the sexual liberation, drugs, pornography, and onto the European countries to copy the Judeo-American democracy. So we will come back after the break and cover some of the other speakers.
Boy, Gene, you have laid out about 2 hours worth of stuff right there. Be right back, brother.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
News this hour from Town Hall. I'm Mary Rose. A stunning story from Capitol Hill where Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia has announced she's resigning from Congress.
Representative Greene, in a more than 10-minute video posted online, explained her decision and said she's always been despised in Washington, D.C. and just never fit in. Greene's resignation followed a public fallout with President Trump in recent months, as the Congresswoman criticized him for his stance on files related to Jeffrey Epstein, along with foreign policy and health care. Donald Trump branded her a traitor and wacky and said he would endorse a challenger against her when she ran for re-election next year. Greene says her last day will be January 5th. Bill Alexander, Washington.
President Trump says GOP Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene couldn't have survived politically without his endorsement.
Once I left her, she resigned because she would never have survived the primary. But I think she's a nice person.
Greene, who was once loyal Trump supporter turned critic, says she is resigning from Congress in January. Republican strategist Aaron McGuire advises patience for those concerned about the economy.
Removing these barriers and making housing more affordable, removing barriers to make food more affordable, that's the affordability revolution that Donald Trump is leading that will boom the economy come 2026.
McGuire spoke with the Salem Radio Network. House Majority Whip Tom Emmer expects redistricting efforts around the country to continue.
They've been doing this for a long time, both sides, I would argue, and we shouldn't say it's Republican, Democrat. It really is. What's the majority in your state? They are going to draw a map that they believe best reflects what that population is and how they protect their majority, and that's just a fact of life.
Police are investigating after four people were injured in a shooting at an annual tree lighting last night in North Carolina. More on these stories, townhall.com.
I'm Andrew Del Rey.
And I'm Todd Avakian, and we're with Union Home Mortgage.
Like so many of you, Todd and I are still heartbroken over the loss of our dear friend, Charlie Kirk.
Charlie wasn't just a client. He was a friend. We helped him and Erica with their home loans. But more than that, we shared faith, trust, and a love for this country.
We've had the privilege of helping many in this audience, too. Families working hard to build something lasting. And we want to keep doing that, helping you find stability, lower debt, and realize the dream of home ownership.
Ready to own a home? Now's the time. Buyers finally have more inventory, better negotiating power, and less competition. But that window won't stay open long.
Get pre-approved today with Union Home Mortgage. Go to andrewandtodd.com or call 888-888-1172. That's andrewandtodd.com. andrewandtodd.com.
We were proud to serve Charlie and Hugh and many others in the Salem family, and we'd be honored to help you too.
Visit us at andrewandtodd.com or call us at 888-888-1172.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing, and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with Managed IT Services.
I love the smell of napalm in the morning. It smells like victory.
Some folks are born made to wave the flag. Ooh, they're red, white, and blue.
Dear Blood River Radio family, man, the Bitter Ender has unloaded a lot. I'm telling you, we could do 2 hours on what he just said. But I was just telling, I asked the Bitter Ender, they had just what they're talking about and what they talked about this past weekend in Montgomery Bell. I'll throw this out there briefly. There was a big get together meeting, if you will, in Austria. A week ago or so, and had the royalty from all over Europe come there, and they're uniting together. And they said, and this what reminds me of what we need to do. The royalty in these very powerful people in all over Europe came to this get together in Austria, and they realized they are very close to losing their country forever, just like we are here. And I like to point this out. The point was made. They have got rid of all their little petty differences because they know their life, their very life, is at stake. Whether they're going to survive as a white race, they've thrown away all their differences. They're intensely loyal, and they're taking huge chances, Gene, of coming out in this meeting. They had to really, pad what they say because they can be thrown in jail in a heartbeat, just like Alfred Schaefer now. But they're putting us to shame. And you know what? When you said that, what's going on in Montgomery Bell reminds me of what they're doing. And we need to do that. We need to forget our petty differences. There's only 10% of the white people left in the world. By God, we need to unite and get rid of all the infighting and come together as one. And with that comment, if you don't have time, Gene, I asked the Bitter Ender about private schools. I've always wondered that.
Yeah.
Bitter Ender, if you will, explain what you explained to me during the break.
Well, we're talking about private housing developments or private land. That's a little different than a school. When in order to be a certified school, you have to have a policy in this country. Even though it's private, you have to pay tuition. It gets no government funding. To be certified as a school, it has to be open enrollment. And if it's not certified, then you graduate from this school. That doesn't mean that you would be accepted at a state university or private university somewhere. So that's the club they hold over your head for these schools. It has to be a certified school. And, a lot of people would say, well, heck with it. We don't care. We're going to go to a community college, or are we going to go to a trade school or something like that? Well, that's okay. But if you're interested in a college degree in medicine or law or something like that, you're going to almost have to graduate from a certified school to go to an accredited, the school has to be accredited, and then go to an accredited law school or medical school or some kind of specialized training like that. So that's where they kind of stick it to you on that. I got just a couple more things by this Mark Collette from England that was banned from coming to this country. Oh, we're a nation of immigrants. Oh, yes, we just have open borders. Anybody can come here. Oh, we just have sanctuary cities. We just throw our heart out to anybody that wants to come to the United States of America, unless people speak about nationalism and about maintaining our race and our heritage. Then they can't come into this country. So
Paul
much
Fromm
for the land of
either.
The free. Huh?
No. Gene, Paul
can't
Fromm
come from
come.
Canada.
There's no one more peaceful than Paul Fromm, and I'm going to shut up.
Yep. Well, in closing, this man, Mr. Mark Collette, said, Western liberal democracy is the poison that infects white civilizations. Multicultural societies will collapse under their own weight. And why are we in such a rush to become a multicultural society? A young fellow, Bradley Fisher, was working with a Patriot Fund for political space with the Young Republicans Club, etc., building political organizations. He needs support, resources, and manpower to say no to the liberals and hold them accountable. Only way to engage is with specific goals that can identify opportunities and existing political structures. The next speaker on Saturday then was Greg Johnson, an educator of countercurrents, and he's the title of his was Education of Countercurrents, White Nationalist Manifesto. And his question was, is America doomed? The whole point is giving whites a chance. We're losing control of our own homelands and suffering extinction of the whites being exterminated. These are consequences of political decisions that we had no part in. It was decided by the elitists in big business. It was decided by bureaucrats and unelected officials in the government, and yet we're being terminated and wiped out. Third parties trying to build countercultures and political action. Racism and nationalism is evil only for whites. If you speak up for your race, for the white race, if you talk about nationalism, then that's considered racism, but that only applies to whites. People can talk about Muslim communities in this country. They can talk about sanctuary cities for Hispanics coming to this country. They can openly talk about gay and lesbian month and pride and all of that. That's okay. But if we talk about what we want for our group of people, that's racism. He said courage is contagious. But someone has to be courageous first, to give an example. Our cause is to give white people a future again, which is vastly diminishing for white people in this country today. Our enemies have seen whites as a nation of sheep, that they can be threatened and just stampeded. Today, American society is a society based on comfort and security rather than honor and integrity. Academia, it's brainwashing as enemy institutions, like the old Soviet Pravda. They're out to academia in this country today is nothing but brainwashing. Another interesting individual, Australian, Hugo Lennon. He talks about the fight on immigration replacement. He's a student at the University of Florida. He was caught up in the Charlie Kirk phenomenon in this country, and he really wasn't politically motivated at all, had no interest in politics until he went to hear Charlie Kirk speak. Legal immigrants are harder to criticize than illegals, he said, but more immigrants in a country, the more immigrants you let into a country, the more that will follow. So basically, by having an open border policy and bringing in more and more immigrants, you're cutting your own throat. The Jewish groups are the ones that back this Indian immigration, not you know, Apaches or Comanches, but Indians with a red dot. And that's one of the biggest immigration groups coming into this country today, taking away a lot of jobs. White nationalists must demand white nation to survive. Legal immigration will overpower a white minority. And you wait till we become a minority and see how many civil rights laws are passed to protect us. That will never happen when we become a minority. Most of these people reject arguments on legal immigration on economic terms and how many jobs they're taking away. White individuals, all considered white by Italians, Germans, French, and so forth, which is fine. We do have to identify our race and what our heritage is and why we need to hang on to it. The last speaker that I would like to talk about, this is one more, and then the last speaker. Dr. Roger Devlin, college professor, and he said that his title of his talk was Patriotism is Racism. And he described patriotism. It's loyalty to one's tribe, your extended family. Patriotism is the most sacred of moral obligations. And races are a very extended family. You have obligations to the same tribe. So basically, patriotism and racism are pretty much interchangeable. There's positive and negative connotations for language that are applied equally. Patriotism is considered good, racism is bad. But we let our enemies define the terms. Racism, change of connotation rather than the actual change of the definition of the word. Here's a point he made, and I even starred this and underlined it. Liberals wouldn't mind seeing their country destroyed if they can rule over the ruins. And I thought that was an excellent point.
That is so true.
And we'll finish up his talk and the last one with Sam Dixon right after the break.
You're doing a great job, Dean. I can't wait to hear the rest of it.
Step into the boots of the American West with Range Magazine, where grit meets grace. This is a front row seat to the stories, struggles, and triumphs of ranchers, farmers, and stewards of the land. From jaw-dropping photography to no-nonsense reporting, Range brings you the untold tales of life on the range. Whether you're a city dweller with a cowboy's heart or living life where the pavement ends, Range speaks to the soul of the West. Subscribe today at rangemagazine.com.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Are you ready to stand up for your community and support your local sheriff? Join the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association and become a vital member of the Sheriff's Citizens Posse. At CSPOA.org, we empower citizens like you through weekly webinars, arming you with the knowledge to back your constitutional county sheriff. Together, we can uphold our Constitution and ensure liberty and justice for all. Your community needs you now more than ever.
Dear Blood River Radio family, there's a thousand things we could talk about, but without further ado, the bitter ender has gone to great lengths to prepare this program. So, Gene, take off, brother.
Okay, we were talking about Dr. Roger Devlin, and his title was Patriotism is Racism, and destroying that myth right there. And one of the great points he made, and I want to reiterate this to our listeners, he said liberals wouldn't mind seeing their country destroyed if they could rule over the ruins of what was left. Nation-destroying, anti-racist left, cultural elite, they are born traitors because they will turn traitor on their country anywhere in the world if they can get their way. Good leaders recognize their duty to kin and country. Patriotism, loyalty to blood and to soil, national territory. A national homeland has self-sacrifice for loyal tribes, groups, families. And a national traditionally is with anyone for a foreigners use it, and liberals, for personal gain, not for national loyalty or ethnic majority rule. The leftists suffer from an arrested adolescence. They never get beyond, you know, this teenage fantasy of we're all one world government or something like that. So that's what liberals or leftists are for. Borders do not promote hostility. Borders promote peace, because you have your land where you live, and the people in Canada have their land and they live there, and the border with us in Mexico keeps Mexicans and Americans apart unless they have a special permit or something to cross the border. And that's much better than having people pour in from every corner of the world and just destroy our country. Look what happened when they opened up Rhodesia. The blacks came in and destroyed Rhodesia. It's gone. Yes. It's not a country anymore. Look what happened when they opened up the borders of South Africa. The blacks moved in, the African National Congress, the communists. They've destroyed South Africa. Two of the most prosperous countries on the African continent have been destroyed because they opened up their borders. Sunday morning speaker. Always, they close the conference with this fella. He is a great speaker. Very sarcastic and very intellectual, or very intelligent. He's a lawyer from Atlanta, Sam Dixon. It's great. It's worth the price of the whole weekend just to hear him. The planning stages of the American Revolution is loyalty, the king of virtues. And talk about what a difference it was in our first revolution and the counterculture revolutions that have gone on today. It is natural to have affection for one's homeland, your race, your family. The Jews do not need geographic boundaries. They are everywhere in the world. They may have a country called Israel, but they are in the United States and Canada and Australia and all these other countries, undermining these countries from within. American Renaissance sees things as they are, not as they are told that they are. Without family loyalty, you can't have national loyalty. That's number one. You have to have love of your family members, and psychopaths never connect with other people. Ethnomasochists degrade their own people, champion other races. They hate their own people. They're loners. They're self-promoters. They don't connect with their country or with their own race. The genetic basis for loyalty and disloyalty is criminality if you have disloyalty. The government of the U.S. run, he said, that the government of the U.S. is run by scum and dregs, and the very worst leaders that we can have.
Sam Dixon.
Sam Dixon, yeah, from Atlanta. We are moral, and liberals are profoundly sick. Perfectly honored to be a race. He is perfectly honored to be a race realist and lay it out as it is. We're not abnormal. Liberals are the ones that are sick. Sam made a couple of years ago. He was talking about what race does to a country and to a civilization. He said, "You know, blacks cause traffic jams." And everybody kind of laughed and said, why is that? You know? And he said, well, look at it. He said, blacks have taken over our cities everywhere, Detroit, Chicago, Atlanta, New Orleans, Jackson, Mississippi, Memphis, wherever. The whites cannot live a block away from their business. They can't live in an apartment over the top of their business. They can't live in an inner city. So they may come into Memphis or come into Nashville or come into Chicago or Detroit or L.A. to work during the day, but, buddy, they get the hell out of there before the sun goes down. And they don't want their children to have to grow up in a situation like that where they are threatened and attacked and probably wind up being killed on a regular basis. So the whites have to get out of these cities. And they have to leave. You have a traffic jam leaving Atlanta in the evening, and then you have a huge traffic jam in the morning coming back into Atlanta. And you look at most of the people in the cars, they are look pretty much like you and I do, Eddie. They do not have dark skin pigmentation. When the blacks take over an area, they drive the whites out, and the whites leave for self-preservation. And so what he said, blacks cause traffic jams. And that's pretty much a good analogy of what it is. And here's another point. I went with some friends of mine, wrap it up right quick here. We're about to run out of time. We took a historical trip a couple of years ago, went down to Vicksburg to see all the Confederate fortifications, and then went over to see the battles that were fought at Champions Hill and Raymond. And I had some of my ancestors that fought at the Battle at Raymond. They were in the 50th Tennessee Infantry, and they fought against Grant when he was trying to swing around Vicksburg and come in from the east, and they fought at Raymond, Mississippi there. And we were looking at some of these old, old homes in Vicksburg, and beautiful old homes that survived the siege of Vicksburg, where Yankees deliberately targeted civilian targets in Vicksburg and dropped artillery shells in on the civilians. And the civilians had to tunnel under the bluffs in Vicksburg like a bunch of rats and live in these caves and holes in the ground, because anything above ground was a target for the Yankee artillery. But some of these homes did survive, and you could tell at one time they were beautiful old antebellum homes. But now they're run down, got weeds growing up in the yard, they've got windows boarded up, and just broken down cars in the driveway. Vicksburg has been taken over by blacks. And there are some whites that come into town to operate the restaurants and the national park there, but the majority of the people living in Vicksburg, Mississippi, are black. And we were looking at some of those houses and said, you know, it's a shame what's happening to these houses. You know, they're just falling apart. And they survived the war, and now they're falling down. And we were saying, but who in their right mind would spend $300,000 or $400,000 to refurbish this home, and then your wife couldn't get out of the car at night to walk from the driveway to the front door, and your kids couldn't get out and play on the street, and they certainly wouldn't want them going to the schools, the public schools in Vicksburg. So that is what a confrontation of races and the difference in the races cause as a result. You have one race that gave us our culture, our history, our constitution, our set of laws, our from the English law that was brought to this country, that has a biblical stance on why the laws are as they are, the commandments, and our civil codes are taken from that. And then you have another race that sees that every other race out there is a target for them to steal, to rob, to intimidate, to take over their homes, to take over their land, and drive the original inhabitants of these cities, the people that built these cities, to drive them out. It's just, you talk about a clash of cultures. And they were always talking about the clash of cultures of the Europeans coming in here, and their culture could not mesh with the Native American culture, which is true. You had people that are hunters and gatherers and nomadic tribes, and
animals
that and just couldn't match with the European culture. So we have the same thing going on today in reverse, that these nomadic tribes that have come in here from the dark continent and so forth are driving out the European culture in this country, the civilization. And it's, you don't have to look any further than Rhodesia or South Africa or these sanctuary cities to see what we are facing in this country and this white replacement that's going on. And the elites in this country, our Jewish oligarchy that runs the country, they're glad to see it happen. And like that one speaker said, the liberals don't mind seeing a country destroyed if they can rule over the ruins of whatever's left. So, Eddie, that was sort of a summary of the American Renaissance Conference at Montgomery Bell State Park last weekend. It's put on by Jared Taylor and the American Renaissance Corporation. And I think within the next couple of weeks, you can go online to American Renaissance Conference 2025, and you can hear and see all of these speeches that were given by these great speakers there at that conference. Eddie, thank you for the time.
You're very welcome. I think Don Wassel's site may have that on his site, AmericanFreedomNews.net, .us. Mm-hmm. But again, you did a marvelous job, buddy. You really did. Thank you so much for coming on and doing that. God bless you, brother. And you're going to be home next week, right?
Yes, the Saturday after Thanksgiving. Yes, sir.
Great. Well, God bless you, Gene. Thank you so much for coming on. Thank you, Lizzie. Thank you. Thank you, Jay. Thank you, Blood River Radio family, for hanging on. We've got to get out of here. God willing, same time, same place next week. And hopefully I won't be detained at the damn DA. Good night, everybody.